5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister. The look it was giving me.
Max, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff? Theo?
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. I hope you had a great weekend. You know, last week I did a show on the Nephilim, and a lot of people, they will tell you behind the scenes in private that they think that Sasquatch is a Nephilim, whether they'll admit it publicly or not, but a lot of people will tell you behind the scenes they believe that Bigfoot is the Nephilim. And so I thought I would do a show on the Nephilim, and I took my best swing at it. I think that either people loved it or they absolutely hated it. But I thought it was an interesting show to do. You know, I didn't want to do a debate show. I just wanted to do, you know, a lot of people think that these are the Nephilim. Then let's do a whole show on the Nephilim. And then at the end of listening to everything that's being said, people can make up their minds and decide if they think that these things are the Nephilim or not. And my guest on the show was Gary Wayne, and he wrote a book. I misquoted the title throughout the show, which I'm embarrassed about, but the book is actually called The Genesis 6 Conspiracy, How Secret Societies and the Descendants of Giants Planned to Enslave Humankind. And if you enjoyed the show from last week, I highly recommend that you get the book. I got my copy. Very, very, very fascinating book. I'm about a quarter of the way through it. If I can keep my brother's filthy hands off of it, or I can keep my girlfriend's filthy hands off of it. Every time I set it down, someone picks it up and starts reading it. But but if you get a chance, if you enjoyed the show, I highly recommend the book. I want to thank Gary for coming on again. I know Sasquatch really isn't his topic, but the Nephilim are, and his book is very, very well written. So I highly recommend that you get it. My trip for Texas has been put on the back burner due to all the flooding. With the production company fell behind on things that they were working on because of the flooding down in Texas. And so something that's going to be completed here in the near future, it's just been put on the back burner at the moment. But I will update you as soon as I have more information. If you get a chance, visit SasquatchChronicles.com. There's a lot of shows. If you're listening to the show on iTunes, if you're listening to the show on a podcast player, there's actually shows throughout the week that I do. This coming week, I'm going to be having a gentleman on from Arkansas who had an encounter in Oklahoma. And him and his friends actually shot at one of these creatures. They think they hit it. And he describes what it did after they actually shot it with a smaller caliber rifle. He describes what it did, how it turned and started coming towards them. It's a very, very fascinating account. He gives a lot of descriptions on what he saw and what they shot. And the other gentleman I'm going to be having on is a tracker from Canada who works for the Forestry Department, and he gets flown into areas in the middle of nowhere. And he came across some tracks, and he describes them as human-like, but larger than a human. And he noticed some of the different features of the track, to where he concluded it wasn't human. It had five toes and looked very boxy, kind of like our Fred Flintstone track. And it wasn't until he tracked the creature into a location where he actually saw it. And what's interesting about his encounter is he almost describes what Mike Woolley talked about in his encounter. The creature turned and whistled in the opposite direction of where he was at. And he immediately started feeling like it was calling others to that area, so he decided to get out of there. But the whole encounter is very, very interesting to listen to. So if you get a chance, check out SasquatchChronicles.com and look for that on Wednesday. Tonight I have two guests. My second guest tonight will be Carol. And Carol talks about some strange things going around her property, how the creatures have come in, tapped on the windows, a lot of strange things going on around her property. She went and talked to her neighbors, and her neighbors have seen it. Her neighbors have dealt with it. And she talks about things that have been going on around the home and different things that she's seen out on the property, where she felt like she was going crazy at first being in New Hampshire, but realized that they had Sasquatch on the property. And it's an interesting encounter to listen to. But first, I want to talk to Gary. Gary was out on his dirt bike, came across one of these creatures crossing the road. Gary, welcome to the show. I really appreciate you being here tonight.
Oh, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Big fan. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us what you were doing prior to the encounter, and then if you would, just kind of walk us into the encounter.
Yeah, so back in the mid-80s, my parents and I, we belonged to a dirt bike club called the Tacoma Trail Cruisers, and we would spend like every other weekend out there, out in Capitol Forest by Olympia. And we were out there all the time, riding bikes, going on poker runs, and just going out on the trails and enjoying the nature and stuff. And I was probably about 15, 16 years old, and I would go out on the trails by myself all the time. And I used to love to go up to Capitol Peak because the view was just tremendous. And so one day, I headed out on the trails, and I was just going about doing my thing, and trail I'd been on a million times before. And I come out of the trailhead out onto the logging road. I look to my left, and, I mean, what can I say? Boom, there it was. It was about just over 7 feet tall, black, covered in hair, just walking into the tree line. I caught a good sight of it, the arms, I saw legs. I couldn't see the face. I couldn't see any facial expressions. It didn't turn my way. I was actually walking very nonchalantly, just like, you know, almost maybe as if it heard me come and just figured, okay, now it's time to get off the road. But, you know, it wasn't one of these huge, big, massive ones that we've heard about a few times. It looked just like a really tall, well-built person. You know, I grew up in Puyallup, Washington. Even back then, it was, you know, Sasquatch, Bigfoot wasn't really known that much. I mean, it was kind of heard about, you know, the trifecta of the In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy and Patterson-Gimlin film and Legend of Boggy Creek. You know, we had heard about all that. But because we're in the Northwest, you know, there's lots of tourist stops. There's places where you can find Sasquatch material and books and brochures and knickknacks and trinkets and, you know, statues and that sort of thing. So even as a little kid, I was absolutely convinced. I mean, I kind of call myself a Sasquatch evangelist at the time because I would tell anybody and everybody. So when I saw this thing moving to the tree line, I knew exactly what it was. But I was so hyped up with adrenaline. I was so excited because here was the proof, you know, that I had heard about all my life and that I had actually believed. And of course, back then there wasn't the breadth of information that you have now as far as, you know, they could possibly be dangerous or you should stay away or you should be cautious or anything. So I just pulled my bike right up to where this thing went in. I cut the engine. I'm listening and I can hear something big moving around in there. And then all of a sudden I was filled with this kind of a sense of dread or fear, like I realized how vulnerable I was, which was kind of strange because I had no inkling that this was going to be a dangerous situation. You know, at the time I was still thinking Patty, I was thinking that, you know, that they were calm or that they were, you know, almost the friendly forest people. I didn't consider that it could be dangerous, but I was filled with this sense that, that I was in danger. So, I fired up the engine and I took off. I finished my trip up to Capitol Peak, came back down, and for some reason, I didn't tell anybody. And you would think that someone who had spent his whole life, you know, trying to tell people that I would be running around telling everyone. And it certainly wasn't because I was afraid or that I thought people would think I was crazy, because I had given up on that a long time ago. So, yeah, I got back and just kind of kept it with me.
So this thing was walking on two legs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely walking on two legs with a normal human gait. I mean, there was no mistaking what I saw. This was not a bear taking a walk. This was not a person in a costume. I was out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and it was so brief from the time that it left the road to the end of the tree line. This was certainly not someone trying to make sure that I saw them. And it certainly wasn't a bear. And it was all black. It was jet black. I didn't see really any variation of color. I didn't see anything that really stood out.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. The part of the human psychology from your encounter that fascinates me is the fact that you didn't really tell anyone after believing that this thing existed.
I'm still kind of perplexed by that because you would think that I would immediately turn around, run back, and start, you know, tell my parents, tell my friends, everybody, oh, this is what happened, this is what I saw. But I didn't, you know, and I think it's interesting because, you know, I know that I'm not the only one. I know that there's been case after case after case of people having experience and they just don't tell anyone. You know, sometimes it's because they're afraid of being ridiculed and sometimes they're afraid of being mocked. But I know that there are a number of instances out there where they just keep it to themselves and not for any particular reason.
Yeah, there's actually a ton of, there's more incidences of people not coming forward than people who do come forward. How long would you say the hair was on the creature?
You know, it was actually relatively short. You know, I know we hear about these different sightings where they have like this long hair that's kind of flowing, it blows in the wind. But it was very much a patty type hair covering. Relatively close to the skin, not flowing, not billowing, not long like that at all.
Now, this is like the middle of the day, I would imagine, since you're on a dirt bike, right?
Yeah, it was probably around noon, 1 o'clock, something like that. And the hair, the hair was short. The proportions were kind of person-like. I mean, it wasn't like you hear about the no heads, you know, where their trapezius is so large that you can't even see their head. No, this was just, it looked like a really well-built, muscular, 7-foot-tall person.
The length of the arms to leg ratio, did you notice as it was walking off, was there anything with its gait, or was it such a short sighting that you just kind of, you saw it and then it walked into the tree line?
Yeah, it was short enough that I didn't get a chance to see any sort of gait, but I could see the arms, and the arms were disproportionately long if it were to be a human. You know, granted, it's a long time ago. I've kept this memory in my head because it was such a seminal moment in my life. It had a profound effect on me because it reinforced what I had already believed. But I do remember that the arms were much longer than a human. But I didn't see any arms swinging. I didn't see any, you know, have a chance to see it walk in distance. It was only a couple seconds. So there's not a whole lot I can tell you about that part, but I can definitely tell you it was not a person.
And that's interesting too, that you had that sense of dread or that sense of fear come over you in that situation, because, you know, I mean, like you said, you had one mindset going into it, and it's just fascinating that all of a sudden now when you see it, you get this sense of dread, you get this sense of, you know what, if it turns around and it comes back, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, you know, in hindsight, you know, we talk about these things like infrasound or, you know, maybe they have some sort of ability to, to affect you in such a way that you're paralyzed or that you're not thinking right. I had never considered anything like that. That information wasn't out there. You know, thanks to BFRO, Finding Bigfoot, you know, people have certain opinions about those shows and those organizations, but they really have been a service for us in propagating the experiences and helping us collate the data and connect the dots into what might be going on here. And now that I look back on it, you know, I have to wonder to myself if maybe there wasn't something going on there. Because like you say, I had no reason to fear. I had no reason to think that I might be in danger because I just didn't believe those things. I didn't have access to that knowledge. But definitely, after I cut the engine and after about probably 15 seconds or so, I was definitely filled with a sense of, you should not be here. You should get out of here. This is not a good situation. There's some danger involved.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like survival instincts kicking in. You know, it's interesting. I was telling a previous guest on the last, I don't remember what show it was now, but I was talking to a previous guest, and we were talking about that sense of feeling like you're being watched, or that sense of dread, or that sense of just something's not right. And I talked about a time that when Woody and I were out hunting, I just had this feeling like we were being watched. I had this feeling like something wasn't right. I had a feeling like we were in danger. There was nothing around us to give me that sort of an opinion. But come to find out, we actually had a cougar stalking us. And we went back, and it had been stalking us for quite some time. So it almost makes you wonder if it's like a survival instinct kicking in when another predator's around, maybe something we've forgotten. And I'm just speculating, but I'm just saying maybe something we have forgotten. And then we get put into these situations, and something kicks in and says, get out of here. Get away from this situation.
Yeah, no, sure. I think it's a good and valid speculation. You know, I think it's actually written into our being, if you will, to sort of pick up on these subtle cues that your conscious mind may not be cueing in on. You know, we've heard many, many stories about, hunters who have been out, you know, hunting, and suddenly the forest will go quiet, you know, either preceding a Sasquatch sighting or something, but clearly the animals also pick up on something else too. And, you know, that's, you know, you talk about that sense of dread or fear that you and your brother had, and the same that I had. And that's not the only time I felt that. I've had a number of experiences, nothing as huge as actually witnessing one, but, a friend of mine had gone camping. I just decided to do some exploring, went across the road, walked up this, steep hill, and I was in all this virgin, untouched forest area, down trees and brush. And when I stood there, I got that exact same feeling. I had no reason to, and I have nothing to back it up. It was just a, personal experience, but, just that sense of, being watched and danger and get out of here, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I don't know what it is. I'd love to know what it is. Clearly, me, you, anyone else that experiences that, it's, something's going on.
Did you ever go back down that trail on your dirt bike?
I had been back down on that trail a few times since that experience. I mean, it's been many, many years since we were part of that club, so I haven't been down there, 25 years or whatever. But after that experience, I did, and it was kind of a way of me trying to, what I had seen. I wanted to go back to that place. I wanted to see where it went in the tree line. I wanted to see, anything else. I wasn't looking for prints. I wasn't looking for anything like that. I was just trying to come to terms with it. I wanted to see the space and everything else. So, yeah, I had been back there, but, nothing else since then.
I mean, they're all interesting encounters to me. I don't think I've heard one yet that didn't make me stop and kind of scratch my head. You know what I mean? They're all very, very, every encounter I've heard is very, very interesting. Though I think the more people that come forward and share their encounters, the more we can get down to the bottom of everyone's question. What is this thing?
Absolutely. And that's why I think that your show is so important, because it really does provide a forum where people come in and tell their stories. And the more pieces of the puzzle that we can, gather, the more information we can learn. Ultimately, we're not going to learn everything that we need to know or want to know until we have a specimen. But until then, your show is a great place for people to come, talk, and, connect the dots. And, I really appreciate having on the show I didn't expect to be here. You know, I just sent you an email. This is, I wanted to sort of throw my hat in the ring and say, hey, this is my experience. You know, for what it's worth, it wasn't like a Siege of Panobia or, you know, Cowman or anything, but, you know, it's just one more for the list.
I can't thank you enough, too, for coming on.
Oh, man, it's totally my pleasure. I really appreciate it.
My next guest is Carol, and Carol lives in New Hampshire, and she had all sorts of things going on around the property for about the last 20 years, but not really believing in Bigfoot, not really believing that these creatures existed. A lot of things left her dumbfounded, and it wasn't until recent years that Sasquatch has been making themselves known more on the property. Well, Carol, I want to welcome you to the show. I really appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you sharing the things that you have encountered and the things that you've seen. Most of the odd things started happening prior to you having any sort of sighting on this property. Can you kind of go into some of the weird things that were going on around the property?
Well, first of all, it spans, I would say, about 20 years. And gosh, there were so many strange things that occurred that at the time I didn't associate with Sasquatch or Bigfoot. I didn't know any better. But I'm going to say it started, the first really strange thing that happened was the roaring sound. At the time I was living on this property alone. And it was in the middle of the night, probably after midnight. And I was awakened by the sound of what I can only describe as a lion roaring. I'm in New Hampshire. Obviously we don't have lions. It woke me up out of a sound sleep, and it was so loud it literally made the windows rattle in my bedroom at the time. So it scared the heck out of me. I woke up. I didn't turn any lights on, but I wanted to make sure that my cats were in the house. So I verified that they were in the house. I went back into my bedroom, and I listened to it a few more times, and then thankfully it started moving off in the distance. So I knew it was moving away from me. So I was like, oh, wow, that is so weird. There must be like a carnival in town or something. Somebody lost a lion. I watched the news and things like that. And, of course, nothing came up. Nobody lost a lion. I talked to the neighbors who were fairly close, and they didn't hear anything. But, you know, I don't know what to say. I know what I heard. But I didn't think much of it after that. I just, you know, life moves on. But, you know, we had wood knocking. That's not that unusual around here. You can pretty much go out. And over the course of a week, if you go out in the evening and you're quiet and you listen, you will hear knocking in the woods. It's just a normal thing. I've had tapping on the windows. My neighbors had tapping on the windows. My daughters had tapping on the windows. There are a lot of different things that, you know, have occurred over the course of the years that I didn't know any better. I didn't know what to think of it. I just kind of blew it off and went on with life.
And there was an odd occurrence with your daughter that first time that she... Wasn't she working on her homework?
Yes. Probably, she's 13 now. I'm going to say she was probably around 9. I'm not exactly sure when it was. It wasn't that long ago, but she used to like to play games on the computer, and she also had to do some IXL homework for school every Sunday night, and she'd have to do it on the computer, and she would do that in the back bedroom. And she was in there one night. I don't know if she was doing homework or playing games, and she came screaming down the hallway, crying hysterically, saying that she saw a monster in the backyard. We talked to her about it, because clearly there's no such thing as monsters. But she described a hairy thing standing up out of the grass and turning towards her as she was looking out the window. And she said it was really scary looking. She described basically what sounds like a smaller Bigfoot. And at the time, we just thought, you know, she's young, it's her imagination, whatever. But I'll tell you what, she would not go back in that room again unless we were with her. And we actually closed the shades and closed the curtain so that she could use the computer even for her homework. So in retrospect now, it's like, oh, I think something might have actually happened there and she wasn't imagining it. And at the time, I certainly wasn't thinking Bigfoot. Never knew that I had any experiences here at the time. So I think something actually happened at that point. She's had other experiences since then, but at that time we just, you know, hey, I don't know what it is. I think it's her imagination. Now yeah. I don't think it was.
Yeah. Now you experienced tapping on the windows too as well, didn't you?
I did. Probably about a year and a half ago, and I was sleeping on the couch. I've fallen asleep on the couch. I work, and a lot of times I'll do work when I get home, and it's not uncommon for me to fall asleep on the couch. And I tell my husband, well, just don't wake me up, because if you wake me up and I go lay down in the bed, I'm just going to sit there all night wide awake. So just let me sleep. This was one of those nights. I was sleeping on the couch, and I was awakened. It was around 3 o'clock in the morning by something knocking on the window. We have a big picture window over the back of the couch. And I always keep the curtains closed and the shades drawn because of the light reflects off the television screen and all that. Anyway, so I hear this knocking, and at first it, you know, woke me up. I wasn't sure what I was hearing. And then as I'm listening, I realize there's somebody knocking on the window. I'm like, well, what is going on? And then my mind kind of shoots over to, oh my God, my daughter's been saying she's been hearing knocking on her bedroom window. We're just blowing it off when she tells us this because we think she has a wild imagination. I was too scared to do anything at that point. I just stayed there and laid on the couch until I was sure it was done and over with. And basically, you know, stayed awake till the light came up and then looked out on the porch. And of course, there was nothing there. But then later I did speak to one of our neighbors who's probably three doors down. And she's telling me, and her husband are telling me, that they have issues with something tapping on their windows. Their property also backs up against the swamp area. And they also have something that comes up on their deck at night. And initially, they thought the house was haunted. And now they're thinking, well, no, there's something outside that is that's bothering them. I'm not sure if they're on board with the whole Sasquatch or Bigfoot thing. But after I talked to them, I realized, okay, I might not be crazy here. There's actually something going on.
And what did your neighbor say?
My neighbor said that they, at nighttime, they will hear knocking on the window. And their back windows are probably, they're similar to ours. They're like 7 feet off the ground. Something will knock on the windows, and sometimes you'll hear walking across the deck, which runs along the whole length of the back of their house. And they'll wake up and they'll look, and there's nothing there. In addition to that, they've had equipment go missing, such as large ladders. The husband there is a contractor, so he does, you know, contracting work, and they'll find the ladders later in the swamp area behind the house. Now, these are fairly large ladders. They're like professional grade ladders, if you will. Kids aren't going to be moving those around, and they're certainly not going to be throwing it in the swamp.
Right.
So yeah. At this point, they have sensor lights all around their house. I mean, you come into my neighborhood 3 o'clock in the morning, and there are times when that thing goes off. It looks like a damn Christmas tree. In addition to that, the wife does home hospice care. And oftentimes she'll work late in the evening, and she'll come home 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And she has told me that sometimes she'll come around the bend. It's kind of like a cul-de-sac here. She'll come around the bend, and she will see this large, thin, shadow-like thing walking around the old, there's an old cabin back there. And it's so tall, it reaches the actual eaves of the cabin, and she doesn't know what it is. I was speaking to her and her husband, and I said, well, do you think that maybe it could be bears or something like that? And her husband, who, you know, he's an outdoor type of guy, and he does a lot of hunting and stuff like that. And he looked at me with all seriousness, and he said, it were no bear. And he just walked away. Well, I wonder what it is.
Yeah.
So
I would imagine.
It's very interesting, and it's almost like nobody really wants to talk about it. And I mean, I know firsthand because I've talked to people in my family about it, and they're not mean to me, but boy, the silence is deafening. They look at you like you have lobsters crawling out of your ears or something. I mean, it's amazing. It's like, look, I'm not inclined to see things. I've never been the wacky one. Can't you guys at least hear me out and listen to what I'm saying? Don't tell me it's a bear. It couldn't be a bear. Don't tell me it's a deer or a moose. It can't be a deer or a moose. I mean, I've twisted myself into a pretzel enough times trying to describe it, and there's just no way it could be a deer or a bear or a moose.
It's interesting, the neighbor that you talked to, how he basically turned and looked at you and said, it's no bear, and he has this place lit up like a Christmas tree. You know, yeah. I almost wonder if you went and talked to him now and said, hey, it's a Sasquatch. I almost wonder what he would say. You know, it kind of sounds like he's doing all of the things that people generally do when they have this issue. They just light the whole place up. Kind of sounds like he already knows what's going on.
I think you're right, and I think it's something that, you know, I'm definitely going to do. I think I'm going to sit down with him sometime this summer, and you know, we it's not infrequent. It's common. We'll have a bonfire out back, and everybody in the neighborhood kind of gets together. I think I'm going to talk to him seriously about it and tell him, hey, this is what I think is going on. what do you think? You know, just kind of open the door, give them that carrot, so to speak, so I can maybe get more information.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. A lot of times when you're very direct with people, especially in a situation like this, they will open up and tell you what they've seen. They'll open up and tell you if they think you're being serious about it, they'll open up and tell you what they've seen and what's going on. Well, let me back up. Your daughter saw the creature before you saw it, correct?
I saw it probably about 15 years ago. But at the time that I saw it, I thought I must have just imagined it because I didn't have a category to put it in. It didn't look like what I thought a Bigfoot would look like. I mean, this thing was, I don't know, it had to be 7 feet tall anyway. It was thin, and it really did look human, and it was, you know, all of maybe 6 feet from my back window. I was in that back bedroom on the computer, and this was before my daughter was even born, and I saw something there. And it was one of those things where I didn't even really tell people about it because I had to have imagined it. There's no such thing, you know. But I would think about, I mean, I remember sitting down and thinking about, well, what was that? Did you actually see something, or was that your imagination? Had to be my imagination. Maybe it was pareidola. I wouldn't have called it that back then, but maybe you just thought you saw something. But when I think about it, there's just too much detail, too much color. It doesn't fit with, you know, seeing a face in the wood grain. It's not like that. This was full on color. This was 6 feet from my window. It was weird. It's not anything my brain would have made up. You know what I mean? It didn't look like I thought what a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch would look like. I thought that would look like, you know, Chewbacca or, you know, something like that. Harry and the Hendersons. It didn't look like that. It looked completely different. It looked quite human, but it had hair on it.
So it's standing 6 feet from the window.
And I think what happened was the phone rang. My window was open. It was early evening. I think it was about September. And I picked up the phone. It was my friend, and I knew when I got on the phone with my friend from college that would be on the phone for a couple of hours. So my idea was I was going to go pick up the phone in the kitchen. Back then, we didn't have the wireless cell phones or the wireless phones. They were all, you know, the landlines with the long cords. So I wanted to change phones. So I told her, hold on, I'm going to run to the kitchen type of thing. So I did that, came back in the bedroom. I was going to hang up the phone, and I looked out because the phone is on a desk right underneath that back bedroom window. And there, standing there, is this, I'm going to say it's probably 7 feet tall. It was very thin. It didn't look healthy at all. I remember thinking at the time it was either very sick or very old, or perhaps both. My brain couldn't make sense of what I was seeing because I remember having these odd thoughts, like, is that like an old biker dude who's naked in my backyard, who's really hairy, and then it jumps over to some old Asian Fu Manchu dude? And I hung the phone up and I kind of walked away, and I got maybe halfway through the bedroom. I'm like, what the? And I turned around, went back to the desk, looked out the window, and there was nothing there. I pretty much just blew it off. But what I saw in that short period of time was something that was about 7 feet tall. It was covered with like gray hair or fur. I don't know what the difference is. The fur was lighter or more sparse in the midsection. So I remember seeing that it had breasts, not like a woman's breast, but more like an elderly man's breast. I know that sounds funny, but, you know, you could tell it didn't look female in the breast area anyway. It had a 4-pack instead of a 6-pack. The skin under the fur was kind of like a hazy purplish gray, or it almost looked like somebody with really pale skin who's been swimming in cold water for a long time. But the face is what threw me, because it looked human. It didn't have hair on the face. It didn't have shiny skin or anything like that. And I think the skin was probably like a leathery tan reddish color. Reminded me of like the back of the neck of like a farmer who's been farming for years in the sun, you know, the really sun damaged skin. And it had a regular nose, except it was very flared, but it was a hooded nose. It reminded me of the actor John Amos, who played the father on Good Times. The eyes, I didn't see so much of the eyes because I think they were sunken and deep. I could see a little bit of white under the eyes. I don't know if it's because it had a lot of white around the eyes or because it was sort of looking up into the window. I remember seeing a lot of bloodshot in that. And it was kind of yellowish, too. In addition to that, had very deep grooves going from the front of the cheekbone down to the jawline. They weren't wrinkles. It was just deep grooves. It was like part of its physiology. I don't know why or how. And one of the things that stuck out to me was it had long Fu Manchu whiskers, like a mustache. I don't remember if it started under the nose or at the end of the mouth, but it went all the way down past its chest on both sides. Had very chapped lips. The lower lip was much like a man's lip, slightly fuller, but the same color as the rest of the skin. And I could see like the cracking on the sides, like the sides of the mouth. And the eyes were strange because the lower lid is what mostly I saw or what caught my attention. And it was extremely red and looked almost swollen. It almost seemed like it was slightly, like the lower eyelid was slightly bowled out. I mean, looking at it, maybe conjunctivitis or something, but it was in both eyes and there was no discharge. It was very ugly. It didn't look like anything. It didn't look like a monkey. It didn't look like I thought Bigfoot would look like. It was a monster, and therefore I must have imagined it wasn't there when I turned around and looked again. So I kind of just, I put it away. I didn't really talk to anybody about it. And then years later, I would have other sightings, not as up close as that, but I would see things that just don't make sense. I can't make sense of it unless we consider something like Sasquatch or Bigfoot, then it sort of makes sense.
Yeah, I think your description is right on. You know, like you and I talked last night, everyone that I've talked to that's been that close, and usually it's a window type encounter, they have that same description. The skin is kind of cracked, kind of like a leather is cracked, you know, if you bend it, or like you said it perfect, like an old man that's been working in the sun, how his back neck is all wrinkled. Everyone generally has that type of description. And then what's odd is, so in your area, I get more people saying it looked more human-like than they'll say ape or chimp.
I know, and I remember listening to, you know, previous Sasquatch Chronicle shows, and Will was saying that his experience was that he couldn't believe that people were saying it was human-looking because he was more used to the Patterson-Gimlin type of creature. And I'm listening to him like, you know what, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I can't believe the Patterson-Gimlin creature is real because that looked nothing like what I saw. So, yeah, there's got to be different types.
Yeah, I think there's definitely different types. You know, down south, as you go southeast, in some states you'll get that weird, you know, the description like what you're giving. But I would say it's mainly up there in the northeast is where we get that description of it looked more human.
Right. And I did some research, and the closest I can come to for the northeast, you know, legend and lore is something called a wood devil, but it really doesn't go, I haven't found any descriptions in terms of what its face is, but they do say that it's tall and it's thin. And that's exactly what I saw. I thought it looked sickly. It was quite thin.
Do you remember hearing any noise with that window being open?
No, nothing at all. There was nothing. Nothing stood out other than the visual. Nothing at all. I mean, I'd had the window open. I was doing some work on the computer in the back bedroom. At the time, I lived alone here, and nothing out of the ordinary, at least not that I recall.
I'm trying to get a timeline here. So your daughter comes in with her friends and tells you they saw something, and that was before you saw it again, right?
Yes. After my daughter was born, she was probably 5, 6, somewhere in that range, the first time that she actually saw something was berry picking. We're on a very large property. It used to be an old farm, so we have a lot of like open fields surrounded by woods, and it's all interconnected. And if she goes up front, there's a plethora of berry bushes out there, and the kids like to pick the berries when they're in season. And she always has a gaggle of kids here for whatever reason. So they all went out picking berries, and she, like I said, she's about 6, and they all come screaming back, crying, upset. And this is what she said to me. There is some black guy standing in the woods with a hoodie walking back and forth. Like he's mad that we're there. I'm like, oh, well, girls, why don't you just stay here? And when daddy comes home, we'll go fetch your berries, because they left their berries out there. And then that was the first time her and, you know, I think it was 5 other kids, and they all, oh, yeah, there was somebody out there. Well, we're in New Hampshire. We're in the middle of the woods. You don't get too many black guys running around with hoodies walking back and forth. It just is, you know. We're in the woods. It's not a neighborhood. There's not, like, streets to be walking on or anything like that. There's not even really hiking trails back there. So it makes absolutely no sense. But yeah. At the time, well, they're all young. Maybe they imagined it, or maybe they saw something. They freaked themselves out, you know, something like that's what I'm thinking. I didn't really, once again, at that point, I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah, and that's an odd description for kids to give in that location.
Yeah.
At that time, you know.
It's not normal around here. I mean, at the time, they didn't say hoodie because they didn't use the word hoodie. I think she said it was like a sweatshirt, you know. And then it just kind of progressed from there. And I didn't even think of Bigfoot until I think it was 3 years ago in the summer. I was watching the children out at the pool. It was a super hot day. It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we have our property bordered the swamp. I was sitting on the picnic table watching the kids swim, and I looked over towards the swamp, and I saw what looked like a boulder. And I thought, well, I never noticed it was a boulder there before. That's odd. And I started thinking, well, you know, we didn't cut down all that brush over there, so maybe that's why you're seeing it. It was nothing at the time. I'm just watching it, and I told the girls, you know, don't drown each other. I'm going to run in the house, get some more ice tea, and I'm coming right back out. I did that, sat down, looked over, and the boulder was gone. At that point, I quickly got the kids out of the pool and got them in the house. But it was too big to be a bear. The only thing it could have been would be a moose, but it never moved. And it looked like somebody, it looked like something bigger than, wider than a football player with full gear on, hunched down, with their head on their shoulder. And it stayed like that the entire time I looked at it, because it was a boulder, never moved. And it was at that point I started thinking, something's going on here. I don't think that could have been a moose. A moose might be able to present the size laying down, kind of, but the rest of it just doesn't make sense. It couldn't be a moose. I sent my husband out there when he came home from work, and he looked, and sure enough, all of the weeds and the grass in that area were all matted down, like something had been laying there. And he was able to follow the tracks halfway around the swamp. I don't know if he could have gone any farther, because at that point I got freaked out and I started calling him back. I'm like, no, you need to come back. We don't know what it is. You need to come back. You need to come back. But another interesting thing is, at the time I was looking at the supposed boulder, the neighbor two doors down, his property, the one who has the issues himself, his property, he was weed whacking and mowing at that time that I was watching this boulder. So whatever it was brave enough to just sit there while he, at times, was probably 20 feet away from it, weed whacking.
Yeah, that is interesting. What color was the boulder? Or the, obviously,
it was black, and it was very black. And I remember thinking, that's really weird, because the boulders in this area tend to be sandy colored or red. We do have a boulder out back that has like black, almost like tar pitch or something poured on. I'm like, well, maybe that's what it is. But then I was thinking, well, it is in one area of shade with light behind it and light in front of it, so anything's going to look black, you know. So what color it really was, I don't know, but because it was in shadow, it was all in black. And it was good size. It was good size. I bet you it was at least 3.5 feet across. And it had the pointy head, but the pointy head was down on the shoulder. And there was, like, no light coming through, like, between the legs or anything like that. There was some brush in the area where it was. So, you know, I didn't see feet or anything like that, but it looked like a weird-shaped boulder.
Did your husband say what the tracks looked like that he was following?
Said that it was mashed down, and he left it at that. And we talked about it afterwards, and he's like, well, I don't know what it was. It could possibly be a moose, but I'm not sure. Maybe it was some guy in a ghillie suit. And I'm like, okay, a guy in a ghillie suit is possible, but it's July 2nd. It's a heat wave. You're in New Hampshire. It's not a hunting season. It's private property and in the swamp. And he's watching me watch kids in a swimming pool. I don't know. Maybe it's not impossible, but it was very strange. But at any rate, that's kind of got me started on the whole, let's do some research. Let's find out what's going on here. Because I'm getting a bad feeling, you know?
So yeah, that kind of
got me looking into things. And it was then that I realized that a lot of things that happen around here on this property are kind of part and parcel with, you know, a Bigfoot activity in the area. Which kind of blew me away and made me feel really strange. But at first I thought it was kind of neat, and then I realized, well, this isn't actually neat, because I can't go sit on my deck at night now. My head's on a swivel. It makes me nervous, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want my kids outside or my daughter outside. She's not allowed to play near the wood line. She has to play in the front or right directly in our yard, immediate yard, unless there's an adult out there to watch her. So, you know, life goes on, but it's not quite the same, and it's not really fun.
I got to thinking last night after you and I were talking, and, you know, one of the things I would probably do that'll make them go away is I'd set up trail cams all around your wood line, because it seems like everyone I've ever talked to, the moment they do that, these things,
they get quiet.
They go away. Yeah, they don't, you know, and there's a lot of different reasons why they would do that. But I think that that seems to be the main thing people do to make them go away.
Right, right. I'm in a strange place because there's part of me that wants to catch these things in terms of, like, you know, just get some evidence of it, mostly for the people closest to me so I can say, hey, look, I'm not crazy. But, of course, there's the other part of me. It freaks me out. I mean, I don't have a difficult time sleeping at night. I'm kind of used to it. It's just life. But every now and then you think, you know, I don't know what's out there. I don't know what exactly it is. I can say, well, this is a Bigfoot or this is a Sasquatch, but what does that tell me? Not much, because we have, you know, differing views on what this thing actually is. You know, is it a predator? Probably. Does it attack people? Sometimes, I bet. Are the ones in this area aggressive? I don't know. You know, so it's tough. But yes, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to, you know, sling trail cams over my daughter when I send her out. That way she'll be safe.
But
that's something we want to do. I do have a couple of trail cams out. We never catch anything at all. But after last summer, we had an incident with a tent that we had set up in our backyard. And I'm kind of thinking I have it narrowed down as to what areas they may be coming through. I mean, I don't think they're interested in anything that's going on here. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my daughter. They're just coming through the area. I live between a swamp and a river. We're surrounded by fields. We have lots of deer, and, you know, so this plant's left to eat. But they just happen to be coming through this area. It's like a highway for them or something. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking towards putting some trail cams out. I'm hoping to get some third-generation ones and see if maybe we can't catch something.
What happened with the tent incident?
Last summer, we had a little get-together, Annie and her friends. It was a week before school started. And we pitched a rather large tent in the backyard, really, I'm going to say, 300 feet from our back door. And, you know, we have a campfire and everything set up out there, and it was a girls only type of thing. And, we had this 3-room tent set up. I was in one section of the tent and the girls occupied the other 2 sections of the tent. The first night we had it pitched, everything was fine, except in the middle of the night, I heard something walk. The way it was set up, it was facing the swamp area. So, it's facing the swamp area, and the window in my daughter called it the Cave of Loneliness, because I'm an adult and I'm not allowed to be with them. In my Cave of Loneliness, the window, the privacy screen zipper was broken, so that stayed open. So I was in the Cave of Loneliness facing the swamp, and I was awoken probably around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, the sound of something walking through the tall grass just outside of the swamp area. At the time, I'm thinking, well, it's probably a deer. You know, we have lots of animals around here. I've seen deer, moose, you name it, in our backyard. So I didn't think too much of it, and the dog started barking, and whatever it was kind of left. The second night, the same thing happened. It was about the same time, and except the second night, it was like it was pacing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then it came in, and something touched the tent over the top of the window. And this is a tall tent. In the middle of the tent, putting the tarp over, I had to have somebody help me. I had to throw it over to them because I couldn't reach it. I'm not real tall, but I would say the tent was probably at least 6.5 feet high in the middle. Anyway, something's rubbing on the tent. At that point, the dog's out there with us. He wakes up, starts barking, comes running over, and whatever it is takes off. Okay, I told my husband about it. He laughed at me. He said, you know, it was probably just the cat rubbing against the outside of the tent. I'm like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Okay, I can live with that. The following night, the last night we were camping out there, was a bit more interesting. Annie and the girls were in the tent. My husband and I came in the house to finish our dinner because they ate before us and it was too dark and I didn't want to eat in the total darkness. So my husband and I came in the house. The dog followed us in because he's not stupid. We have food. So I'm sitting there eating dinner and my daughter calls me on her cell phone. And she says, is Daddy outside? I'm like, no, why? And then she just immediately bursts out in tears, and she starts talking really fast. And I can't understand a word she's saying, but I can hear that all the other kids in the background are making noise, too. So my husband and I run out the back door to get over there, and she tells us, and the girls are all crying. I mean, they're at this point, they're, what, 11 and 12-year-olds. They're crying. They're hysterical. She said that something came running up from the opposite side of the house, and they could hear it coming across the back lawn. Touched the tent, like dragged its hand over the tent, and it ended up on the very top of the tent, pushed down, and then it jumped a retaining wall that the tent was up against in the back, and it scared the heck out of them. At that point, I thought, well, somebody's playing a prank. I don't know who it would be that would be playing this prank. It's dark. We can't see anything. So we just kind of blew it off, assuming that, you know, maybe one of the neighborhood boys was pranking them. We finally got them calmed down and convinced them that, no, it's probably nothing. Don't worry about it. We can continue sleeping in the tent. Because, quite frankly, I cleaned the house. I didn't want, you know, 5 12-year-olds in my house. So I slept out there with them again that night. And probably around 3 o'clock in the morning, or maybe it was 2:30, I got up and I used the bathroom. The girls were already sleeping. I ran into the house real quick. I put on a sweatshirt because I was freezing. Went back out to the tent, started falling asleep. And then I heard a man yell something out. It was just like a one-syllable something. I'm not sure what he said. It was like, yep, that, something like that. I'm not really sure. But that's odd because there's nothing around us. You know, the neighbors, I can see their backyard, their houses, their lights are all out. It's Monday night. It's, you know, nearly 3 o'clock in the morning. I hear it off in the distance. I'm like, well, there's an old gas station over there. People will sometimes pull in there. Maybe it's teenagers or something. I didn't think much of it. And then I hear the sound walking through the grass again that I heard the past 2 nights. And it's like, choo, 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 choo. It sounds bipedal, I guess. I mean, I'm not an expert at that sound, but it sounds like somebody walking through the grass. At this point, I'm thinking, oh, we're going to catch the person that's trying to prank us, you know? So I'm ready to go. I'm going to scare them right back. So I'm laying in the tent, and then the sound changed. It went from like a walking sound to a dragging sound through the grass, and it was like, I'm just listening, and then I hear something. At first, I'm like, is that like a truck on the highway in the distance? And then I realize, no, that's growling. That's freaking growling. Something's growling. And I'm listening. I'm like, okay. So this is somebody that's trying to scare us, but growling. And I'm listening. And the growl never stops. It's like the deepest snarling type of growl. It was terrifying. It wasn't loud. It sounded like it was doing it under its breath. It was the strangest thing. And I'm listening. And in addition to that sound, there's like this sound like something's being dragged across the lawn, and I'm stunned stupid at this point. I'm not even moving. I'm just laying. I'm laying in my sleeping bag, just trying to figure out what's going on. And I realize it's come right up to the tent, and it went around the tent where the open window was. It went around to the other side, basically where my head was. And I got up, called my husband, and I'm trying to be quiet and, you know, tell him, something's out here. It's growling. It's really scary. You need to come out here. And it started growling again. And then I look down and I see my dog, whose eyes are open, and he's laying at the bottom of my sleeping bag. He's just laying there and his eyes are open. And I'm like, why are you not barking? And once I realized he wasn't barking, he was just laying there. And I had this horrible growling thing right there. I kind of lost it. Realized, well, I don't have time to be scared. I have 4 young girls in this tent. I need to do something. So I had gotten up and I tried to wake the girls up, and I found a flashlight that didn't work, but it was a big mag light. So I figured whatever it was, I could hit it. By the time my husband got out, I heard the screen door slam. So I was like, oh, thank God. I was scared. I was just so scared. I wish I had looked out to see what it was, but I was so scared. It was gone. So the next day we looked for the footprints or anything on the other side of that retaining wall. And sure enough, there were 2 distinct footprints it's not dirt. It's, clover. And if you step on clover, oftentimes it'll take the shape of a print. It's not very distinct, but you can, you know, see the outline of 2 footprints. And it looked like whatever went over that retaining wall went over butt first, landed on its back legs, and then ran off through the dirt pathway or stone pathway into the wood line. So I will never know what that was. I know what I'm thinking it is now.
You know, I think the human psychology in a situation like this is to try to find another answer for what it is.
A reasonable answer, because it doesn't really exist. No, it doesn't really exist. No, it's not in my backyard in New Hampshire. Of course not. That's crazy. Only crazy people think that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you try and rationalize what is going on and what you've seen, what your daughter says she's seen, what your neighbors have told you. And I think especially in your situation, you can really, all the pieces of the puzzle are there. It's definitely not a person running through there playing pranks on you. It's definitely not a bear. It's not in your situation. I mean, it sounds like you got some major.
And because of that, I thank you so much for the show, because I don't think I ever would have gotten there had I not been listening to other people's encounters. I really don't. For the longest time, I thought, there must be something wrong with you. Why are you seeing these things? This doesn't make any sense. And I didn't even know what I was seeing, but these weird things going on. And it was because I was listening to your show, I knew about the lions, or it was because I was listening to your show that I knew about the potential of it crawling up on you. I wouldn't have known any of these things. I listened to one of your shows and there was a gentleman talking about seeing one who, and his nose was like the guy that played the father on Good Times on that 70s show. Well, God darn it, that's the same exact, almost same exact words I used when I was thinking about it after I had my first sighting. How bizarre is that? What are the chances of that happening? That was 15 years ago. The other guy talked about an old Asian dude. That's exactly what I thought when I saw it here. You know, so it really helped. So I just want to say thank you for that.
I appreciate it. Like I said, you know, it's, the show is people like you coming forward. It's not me, you know, so I appreciate you coming forward and sharing it. Had you had any more sightings since that time?
The last sighting I had was, I think it was two years ago. It was in August. I was having dinner with my husband. My daughter wasn't home at the time. And the way our house is situated, we have these large front kitchen windows that overlook the front lawn and the side, the side driveway, which is bordered by the river. I saw this thing just out of the clear blue walk through the wood line. And you have to understand that this river doesn't really have a slope down into the river anymore. We had a big storm. It washed everything out, including a lot of large trees. So it's a straight drop down. It's like a 20-foot drop down to the river now. And I saw something walking on, I would say, a piece of land that's probably no more than 4 inches wide. Just walk right past me, and it was 7 feet tall. Looked all black because it was in slight wood line there. It had the pointy head. It was looking down. Had big, huge hands like it was wearing oven mitts. It was thin, and then it just like dropped out of sight, like the earth had opened up and swallowed it. And at the time, I'm like, well, that has to be your imagination because nothing can just disappear like that. It was later I came across a Thinker Thunker video where he describes how these things can just, the way they move, and they almost leave 1 foot behind them, they can literally drop down without bending or anything like that. And he has a video of it. I'm like, oh my God, that's what I saw. Okay, you know what, Carol? You may be crazy, but whatever it is you're seeing, it's called a Sasquatch. Nothing else makes sense.
Yeah, when they drop down like that, all fours, I mean, it happens within a split second. They're down on all fours. It takes them no time at all. It's like they just collapse, just drop.
It was bizarre. And it's just like everybody says, there was no like bounce as it walked. It looked like it was wearing roller skates or something. It just glided across my field of view. My husband didn't see it. His back was to the window, but he saw my reaction. He's like, Carol, are you okay? He thought at the time maybe I was choking or something, but no, I wasn't. And I told him, well, I thought I saw, you know, something weird out there. Yeah. It's very odd, and I know other people are going through this, and I really feel for them because you feel kind of crazy, you know, and especially around here, we're not real open to the idea of Sasquatch or Bigfoot. We're in New England, God's sake. Maybe it's a bit better on the West Coast, but it's not terribly open around here.
Yeah, and that's generally what I've heard from the East Coast. A lot of people who have encounters, or, you know, even down south. I mean, even down south, they have, I've talked to so many people that have a similar situation like what you have. It's like trying to squeeze it out of them on what's going on around their property. You know, it's very hard to get them to talk. I think the West Coast is a little bit more liberal.
Open to the idea. You've been dealing with it longer, at least, you know, publicly, I guess. Anyhow. Yeah, it's very strange. And I did have a question for you. Have you ever heard of these things making like cooing sound? I swear I had something on this back porch probably in March. It was the creepiest thing. I don't know. My husband swears I must have been sleeping, but I had a time like something walked up on the steps. It rubbed against the window. It rattled the door handle on the door handle on the storm door. And then I started hearing it. It sounded like two of them. Oh, who? 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 I can't do it because I can't get deep enough, but it was the strangest damn thing.
Yeah, no, I heard that at the Browns property when
they were doing the swing. Okay.
Yeah, I was doing the baby crying. I was playing the audio of the baby crying on YouTube, and I was just basically just blasting it. And something came in and it was making that exact same noise towards where I had the audio just blasting. No one, you know, was kind of away from the area. but I had the audio just blasting of a baby crying, and that was the exact noise it made when it came in. It stayed in the brush, but when
Where is the brown? Is that in Texas?
Washington State.
Oh, Washington. Okay, I'm sorry.
Your situation's unique because, you know, kind of like the Browns, I don't think if you would have had some violent behavior going on or some aggression going on, I think you guys would have experienced it by now. Tapping on the window concerns me, though.
And nearly 20 years and, you know, nothing. Maybe it's been up on the porch. I can't say for certain. I think it has, but, you know, that I have no proof of that. That's probably, and the growling at the tent, but I, to this day, I don't know that it was a Bigfoot that crawled up on the tent. I don't know because I didn't have the nerve to look out. I was afraid that if I looked out, whatever was out there would know exactly what's in the tent and therefore it would go into hunting mode or something. I figured if it didn't know it was just, you know, a bunch of girls in the tent, it might think twice about attacking, but I still kicked myself because all I had to do was look out the window, you know, but I just couldn't do it. I could not bring myself to do it.
Well, like I said, at the end of the day, I think you're dealing, I really think we're dealing with a wild animal at the end of the day, you know, on the primate scale. Yeah. But one of the things your daughter, the kids said when they were in the tent, you know, it was a black man pacing back and forth. I've heard other people give that description.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's right before there's some sort of display. They'll pace back and forth like they're trying to work themselves up. The courage to bluff charge you.
Moose do something similar to that. They'll kind of run in a circle and look at you.
Right.
And then you don't vacate the area they're coming after you.
Yeah. And, you know, the tapping on the window concerns me, especially with your daughter. And I know I asked you the other day if the main focus was your daughter, if it was tapping on the window consistently across the board to everyone in the house. Or if it's just your daughter, it just bothers me. It just concerns me when I hear stuff like that.
Right. We keep, you know, she keeps her windows closed and she keeps the shades drawn. And we also make sure the dog is in the bedroom with her at night. She hasn't had any tapping on the window probably for a year and a half, somewhere in that range. So I think it's finished checking out this area or this particular house. Maybe it's moved on to somebody else's house. I don't know. People won't talk about it. But so far, so good.
Well, and I'm speculating, but it kind of sounds like it's in a travel corridor. You know, you guys
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking that too, because, you know, it's frequent enough to cause concern, but it's not something that happens every night. I mean, it's, you know, two or three very weird things will happen per year type of thing. And I know over the winter, it was odd. I kept hearing banging metal out back, and there's nothing out back. It's woods. There might be some, you know, refuse thrown out there from, you know, when this was farmland, but there was definitely something going mental on metal pieces out there in the dead of winter. So I think they're here all year long, or they're coming through this area all year long, but I don't think they're necessarily like living on this property. I think because we're situated, you know, we have some cornfields around us, and we have the river, and then, of course, we have you know, quite a few ponds out back, and then the swamps right there. I'm sure all of those are, like, prime hunting territories for a predator. And so it kind of makes sense that it might be just coming through this area and every now and then getting, I don't know, curious or something and deciding it wants to tap on windows or look in a window or come up on a porch or something like that. At least that's the story I'm telling myself at this point.
Yeah, no, and what I would do, honestly, is I'd talk to your neighbor, compare notes, see what he has going on, and I'd just be straight up and honest with him. Yeah, I think it's a Bigfoot. I think it's a Sasquatch. I don't think, and you might be surprised at his answer. It sounds like he's probably going to give you the answer you want from
and I'm comfortable with that. You know, we're fairly close to them. I mean, we don't hang out all the time, but, you know, our kids play together, that type of thing. So I'm comfortable doing that. And even my husband's on board now because he believes me, but he thinks that oftentimes I'm mistaken. He thinks maybe I have Bigfoot fever. And I can understand him thinking that. That makes sense. But, you know, I don't think so. But he's also going to come with me and, you know, we're going to talk to them. And I'll see, you know, what they have to say because I think they may have some good stories themselves.
I don't think it's Bigfoot fever. I think that, you know, especially I hear it all the time, especially in situations like this where people don't know what it is and they think either, know how many times I've heard people say, hey, I thought the house was haunted. And I would ask them, well, why do you think that?
Yeah, I remember you saying that. And it struck me as funny because that's what they said, too. You know, that's what my neighbors said. We thought the house was haunted.
Yeah. When you come to that conclusion, well, why are you coming to that conclusion? Well, you know, there's tapping on the house. There's, you know, the door handles get shaked. You know, they start describing what sounds like paranormal behavior. And then they'll come out and say, and then I saw it. You know, like the one guy, I think it was down in Texas, he told me that he thought the house was haunted until he ran out the back door and saw the thing running off from hanging on his house.
Ran smack dab into it. That's nice.
Yeah. I remember he said, I kind of hoped it was haunted after that. And it wasn't.
It is. No way. It's the fear of fear. That's what I was thinking about that the other night. It's not so much that I have these things like trying to attack us or anything like that, but it's fear of fear. Am I going to walk out to my car when I, you know, I let my guard down, whip around the corner, and there's going to be this monster standing there? And then won't I just die instantaneously on the spot? So it's like a fear of fear. I'm afraid of being afraid. I've been here for 20 years. I garden, I do all the things you do outside, swim, this, that, and the other thing, and I've never had anything bother me. But then again, I don't typically come out here at night, and, you know, moving forward, I probably won't be out here once it gets dark either. So, you know, I think a lot of it is fear of fear.
You know, in that situation, like I said, they haven't done anything yet, so I wouldn't be too concerned about it. But at the end of the day, they seem to be very unpredictable, too.
Yeah.
So you do want to keep your eyes open.
That's what we'll do. You know, my daughter, she's not going to go hanging out in the woods anytime soon. She's okay with, you know, if you're going to be outside, you need to have somebody with you, or if you're in the backyard. In the front, it's okay. You know, the other houses, everybody can see everybody, that type of thing. That's fine. But she's on board with that too. So, I mean, I think it's going to be fine. I'm going to keep looking though. I'm going to keep looking around, and, you know, I have some friends that are coming over. They have night vision, and I'm thinking of pitching a tent this summer. No kids will be in the tent. It'll be adults with weapons, and, you know, we'll see. Maybe we can catch something. That would be great. And it would prove I'm not crazy.
Yeah. Well, you're not crazy. Do you notice what time of year you generally have activity, or is it random?
I'm going to say it's all year long because I have been out here in February. I used to smoke, so I would never smoke in the house. I would always smoke on the deck. That's probably another reason why I'm more inclined to see things, because I'm out here all freaking hours smoking cigarettes. Not anymore. I quit. And we've had activity every month of the year, I think. You know, it's less so in the winter. In the winter, it's more like sound. But then again, we're not outside in the winter. And it seemed to be more active definitely in the fall, late summer, early fall. But we've had the tapping on the window was a springtime event. I've had wood knocks right in my backyard. That's why maybe it has nothing to do with wood. Maybe they're clapping or something like that. But right in my backyard, I had an incident where there was very loud knocking. And that was in the spring. The three sightings I had were all in the summer. So maybe summer would be most active, but all year long there are things that do happen. So I do think they're just coming through this area regularly, going someplace, you know, maybe a field. Maybe they go into the field for the deer or something like that, and the field's right over the river here. And we also have a defunct railroad track that runs parallel to the property that goes straight back to the biggest state park in New Hampshire. So, you know, that would probably might be something too. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. No, I would definitely say it. I'd love to see it from Google Earth. And just, have you ever Google Earth your place and see?
I did. You know, and I thought about, well, maybe I should Google Earth it and send over the information, because it is, you can see, you know, you can see going straight back into it, the next town over where the state park is. But yeah. You know, it's like a Bigfoot Disneyland here. You know, we have the defunct railroad track. We have cornfields, you know, one, two, three sides of us. We've got the river. We have the swamp. We have, you know, multiple ponds back there. So, you know, in terms of the things they say that Bigfoot are attracted to, well, we have it all, you know. So I guess it does kind of make sense.
Well, Carol, be safe while you're out there, and keep me up to date, will you? Let me know what's going on around the property.
I will. Once again, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the show, and thank you for, you know, kind of giving people an outlet to talk about it. I think it's important. I mean, I hope maybe there's something that I said that can help somebody else who's sitting there thinking, I think I have something going on, but I'm not sure. I could be crazy. You may not be crazy. You may actually have something going on. I can have them here in New Hampshire. They can be anywhere.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Carol, thank you again. And if you're out there listening on iTunes, if you're out there listening on your podcast player, if you get a chance, check out SasquatchChronicles.com. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, email me, Wes@SasquatchChronicles.com. Thanks for listening tonight, everyone. I really appreciate it. And I will see you guys next time. Have a great night. Yeah.